TPO Rankings.
Welcome back to the TPO Rankings podcast. My name is Cody. With me is my brother Jake. Jake, how are you today?
Going well, Cody. Thank you. How's everything there?
Yep, everything is well, and I suppose we will say any apologies for Jake's audio today. You took your microphone home, but you forgot the cable, so hopefully the audio quality comes through all right. You said it.
Okay. Yeah, I wasted the time going to get it and left the cable there, so not very clever.
We'll see how things go, and hopefully next week it'll be back to normal. But let's just start things off here, Jake, with a quick wrap of the A-League. I'll just run through the results here and we'll just put a few comments on the game, and then I've got a few questions for you at the end as well. So Adelaide and Perth kick things off, and Jake, believe it was the first time the Toure brothers have played together for the Reds.
I did hear that during commentary.
And they looked exciting. He sort of made a few runs there towards the end of the game. And which is a good time for players like that to come onto the pitch, and when there's some tired legs. And there was, I think, one in particular where I'm not sure which brother it was, had the ball on about the halfway line and just kicked it past someone. And he was about 3 metres behind and ended up easily getting it. So they're exciting to watch, and certainly that's getting people around Australia excited. And I, for one, I mean, that's what it's all about, isn't it? I'm excited to watch Adelaide in the next game, whereas there's not many teams I, you know, get excited to watch and think, oh, it's going to be a great game, keep an eye on these guys. But they're probably the team, apart from, I guess, we support Brisbane, so they're our team to watch. But other than that, I love watching Adelaide because I just want to watch those brothers and see how they go.
Yep. Agreed.
And anyway, Perth got up 2-1 in that one, and there was also those handbags, I suppose, or comments between Stephen Mork and Kilkenny as well. Did you catch that, Jake?
Yeah, it's a little bit bizarre. I don't know. You kind of laugh at it, but at the same time, I just shake my head.
Yeah, it's nothing though. It's not that big of a deal, really. And no. To be honest, I like it. I'd love that stuff to happen more often because it just gets the rivalries going and more media buzz, I suppose. Even though
adds a bit of spice to it.
Yeah, that's it. And next time they meet, there'll be pre-match comments and a few things on Twitter. So, and you might get an extra percentage of people tuning into the game. So it's what we need in the league, to be honest. So well done to Stephen Mork for being a bit of a dick.
Being an arsehole. Sorry.
The next game, MacArthur and Western Sydney Wanderers drew to all, and I think it was Kinu Backus with a bit of they called it a scorpion flick or something, for the assist for, I think it was Simon Cox, for the equaliser, which is good for your under-23 team, Jake, because you have Backus with the assist there. The next game, Brisbane, way too good for the victory.
Hang on, before you move on, there was kind of two main things in that game, the MacArthur-Western Sydney. One was the one you mentioned with that scorpion assist. Second one was the attempted goal, I guess I'll call it that, the one that bounced off the crossbar and kind of bounced over the few players, and it was just like a FIFA goal mouth scramble. It was crazy. Did you catch that one?
Yeah, I did, and apparently that had hundreds of thousands of views on Twitter, so I did a bit of the rounds, more as a meme, mate, perhaps, but it was good nonetheless. Heading into the next game, Jake, Brisbane far too good for victory in the opening sort of 20-30 minutes and just ran away with it 5-2, so a great result up in Redcliffe.
Yep.
The next game, what a come from behind, probably the most exciting game. Central Coast Mariners coming from behind to beat Western United 3-2 with Alu Kuol. Two headers coming on as a sub. He's doing great.
He's doing really well, yeah.
I think he's 19, maybe 20. It's such an exciting player. And again, such a great player to come on as a sub when there's some tired legs around. And they're sort of, they got things right at the moment, the Mariners. Well, seemingly, obviously, results go against them and people are questioning everything. That's just what happens. But they sort of use Matt Simon as a starting player up front to battle, and he does a good job. And then they got this weapon in Kuol to come on and finish teams off, and seems to be working really well. So well done to the Mariners. The Jets beat City 1-0, and I suppose...
A bit of a surprise there.
Well, possibly the result that got Craig Dean's the full-time gig. So he was announced, I think, yesterday.
Yeah, that's right.
It was full-time. He's the coach there now, which is well-deserved, I think. And I think most people think that's the common-sense approach.
The next... And just to touch on City as well, I mean... a few people at the start of the year had them battling with probably Sydney as the top two favourites for the year, and they're down in the bottom handful of clubs, aren't they? I mean, they're really struggling.
I think they are ninth at the moment, so they've got two wins from six, two wins, four losses. So the last three in a row, three losses in a row. So, yeah, they are struggling. Them and Victory, I suppose, would probably be the two teams where you go, they should be top four, not bottom four. And yeah.
Well, Western United are down there as well, which three of the four bottom clubs are the Melbourne Victorian clubs.
Yeah, and I think this Kis Norbo and Grant Brebner would be the two coaches most under pressure, Jake, and they're going to need some results. I mean, it's early doors yet. I think they've played six games each, so still plenty of time to turn things around. And how many times have you seen clubs struggle in the first opening however many games? Four, five, six, seven games, and they end up having a great run mid-late season, and all of a sudden they're winning Coach of the Month awards and making finals. So it's still a long way to go here. So, but yeah, it'll be interesting to see how they turn their form around in the weeks to come. The next game, Sydney, too good finally for the Knicks. Barbarousis finally hits some form, Jake. I think he scored both of the goals, didn't he?
I believe he
scored both. Yep. For the first goals he scored this year, so that's good for Sydney. And they've played a game less and two games less than a bunch of the teams above them as well. So I believe if they won their two games in hand, they would go top of the table. So obviously they've got to win those games, but they sort of are looking like the team to beat, I suppose, at the moment. We'll get into that, Jake. It's part of my coming up in some questions to come for you. And the final two games on Tuesday night, Brisbane hosted Macarthur, and what would seem like not a formality, but a win for Brisbane would have been the bookmakers. Macarthur, though, too good. They left some players on the bench, most of their sort of better players on the bench. They left one or two at home as well, preparing for their game. I believe they play Friday night, maybe Saturday, against might be Adelaide. Yeah, I think it is. And yeah, Macarthur, Jake, I suppose, well, not too good, but they did get the result in one of the...
Yeah, I thought Brisbane were just a bit, I don't know, they looked a little bit flat compared to some of the previous games, especially that earlier win that you mentioned against the Victory. But, I mean, Macarthur just did what they had to do, and they got a late second goal because of that Derbyshire scored from not far past the halfway after a defensive mistake, basically rolled the ball in front of him and Jamie Young got caught off his line. But I don't know, it wasn't the most exciting of games from either side, to be honest, or I didn't think so. MacArthur probably deserved the 3 points.
Yeah, sure. And very windy on that night as well. And then last night, Jake, Wednesday night, Western Sydney Wanderers v Victory. Western Sydney coming up 2-0 victors there. So that leaves Central Coast on top of the table with 15 points and Brisbane and Western Sydney 3 points behind, although Brisbane do have the game in hand. And Macarthur, with that win over Brisbane, jump into fourth. So it's a very congested table still, but it's nice to see a table with a few more teams in it, isn't it, Jake, rather than the typical 10 points there.
Yep,
10
I like
points,
it.
Sorry. All right, Jake, I have some questions for you. Do you need a break there with your son in the background?
Yeah, if we hear noises, it's because I'm recording from home, but all good.
All good. Okay, Jake, will Alu Kuol score 15 goals this season? He's at 5 goals at the moment.
Ooh. Yes, I don't think so, but it wouldn't surprise me if he hits double figures. That's where I reckon he'll get to. I mean, he has, yeah, like I said, 5 goals already, but being that young, not to say it can't happen, but consistency is probably the trickier thing when you're that young playing, you know, at this sort of level.
Yeah.
I hope he proves me wrong. I hope he does.
Yeah, I think he'll fall somewhere in about the 12, 13, 14 perhaps. But, yeah, I don't think he'll quite make 15, but, I hope I'm proven wrong. As you say, Jake, young players can get injured in and out of form. And Central Coast obviously been great at this point in the season, but they've got a bunch of away games. So I hope to be proven wrong, but we shall see. Okay, Jake, who will be the top goal scorer at the end of the year?
Ooh, I mean, the obvious names that come up are guys like McLaren. Do you have the numbers, the current leaders, Cody, in front of you, other than obviously Kuol would be there?
Wenzel Halls, D'Agostino's up there.
Yeah. Obviously,
Mitchell Duke's back in the scene. He starts at zero. But he'll be starting, I think, in a week or two. But yeah, a bit behind. Yep. Starts. Barbarousis is got the ball rolling.
Good. Even Abini, when he watched a bit of last night's game, and he looked quite good. I'm gonna pick two names. I'm cheating a little bit. I'm gonna go McLaren because he's at that level of striker that all it takes is for him to hit a run of form and he'll score a bunch of goals. And then I'm going to throw out Wenzel Halls because I think he's been really good so far. And I think Warren Moon's going to keep giving him chances in the Brisbane lineup. And as long as Brisbane are playing well, which they are at the moment, I think he'll keep getting opportunities.
Yeah, I think McLaren's obviously one of the names to throw about.
I wouldn't go past Barbarousis either.
I was going to say Barbarousis as well. He's actually on three goals, Jake, so he must have scored. I think he might have scored a penalty earlier on in the season. And then he scored those two goals on the weekend. So, yeah, I think Barbarousis and McLaren would be my two picks.
Okay.
The next question I have for you, Jake. There is one team in the A-League that has used just 18 players this year, which is the least amount. Which team is that?
Gee, okay. I'm going to do a bit of a process of elimination here to knock off a couple of names. I would have said some of those sides that are playing a lot of young players are definitely going to be not on that list. So you can probably rule out Adelaide, probably Perth. Yeah, it's a tricky one. I tell you what, I'll take a stab in the dark. Before I answer, do you have any of the other numbers for those teams so you can see how close
Basically,
I was?
Basically, the team with the most is 22 players, and that's the next
really?
Question.
Okay.
So it's pretty congested.
So there's not that much difference. Okay. Let's hope I don't pick the exact opposite end of the spectrum here, but the one that's used the least amount of players, I'm going to go with Western United.
Western United is not the correct answer. They have used 19, so you weren't far away. Ooh, the one team who has used the least is Wellington Phoenix with 18, and there is one team on 22. Jake, who is it?
One of those two I mentioned before. I'll take a stab. Adelaide.
Yep, correct. Adelaide is the team. Perth Glory apparently have only used 19.
Is that so, right? Okay.
According to this website anyway. So I'm just going to take it at their word. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, exactly. And he's always right.
The last question I have for you, Jake, who is going to finish top at the end of the season? Not finals, just after the 20, how many games they play? 26, 27?
I'm not sure, actually. I think it's different this year, isn't it? It's a shortened season. So I think it's actually closer to, 22 maybe?
Oh, really?
27, something like that. It seems like something we should know, but I'm going to say Sydney. I think they're class and the form will come through, although they are still, like you mentioned before, Barbarousis being there, probably the goal scorer for them, and he doesn't always, or he hasn't been on form. So that it really comes down to whether they can find those goals, but I'm going to say Sydney, because I think as good as Mariners and Brisbane are playing, and even Wanderers, I think probably consistency might be an issue for them, and I think Sydney will, those couple of catch-up games, I think they'll be the team on top.
Yeah. I agree with you, Jake, and I think the team I would throw in there is a bit of a dark horse, and maybe they're not that dark, much of a dark horse, but is Western Sydney. I still don't think they're that great. I don't think they play the best football, but just the depth they have, especially with the attacking players and Mitch Duke coming back, they've got a quality coach there. I think they go on a bit of a run. They're unbeaten, at least the last five results they're unbeaten, with three draws in there and two wins. But I just think, and they have played an extra game than Brisbane and two extra than Sydney and Perth. But, yeah, I just think they go on a bit of a run and they could be up there towards the end of the year. But I could, again, the teams are so close this year, so competitive, and it's great to see that they could easily finish in the bottom five or six as well. I think Sydney are definitely the favourites there. As I mentioned, they've got the two games in hand. So, Jake, let's move quickly on to a bit of a fantasy A-League update. This week was a pretty bit high-scoring round as we had a bunch of teams who played two games. And I got 163 points this week, Jake, with Scott McDonald as my captain because he had the two games. He collected 52 points, majority of those points coming in the first game where he scored a double, nearly a hat-trick as well. How'd you go this round, Jake? Do you know?
I did okay. I got 115 points, which is a very good score, but given everybody else scored quite well this week as well, I think I was about average. So I captained Troisi, which didn't pay off that big for me. He only got 9 points, so double that, 18. Although I did have a couple of players that did very well. Federici got a clean sheet out of, I think he played the two games, Ziggy Gordon, yep. And Jake Brimmer was my big scorer this week with 24 points.
Okay, yep, good stuff. All right, let's move on to the under 23 draft pick. So we've been updating this one each week, and after on round seven, Jake, I see you've updated the Google sheet here.
Correct. Was
a bit of a, is it? Oh, I think that's your computer fan, Jake, going off in the background.
No, a bit of noise. It's not, yes.
Coming through too bad, but
I'm taking off.
It looks like the player who scored the most points this week was Dennis Jeanroux from MacArthur, who scored that first goal in the game against Brisbane. He got 26 points. Second was, and he's on my team, Jake Brimmer from the Victory, who's doing really well, Jake. I think he's the highest goal scorer, point scorer so far out of the 20 players we've chosen, with 72 in total. He got 24 points this round. Third place was Kinu Backus, who's in 60 points total. So if we go down to the totals, it looks like you're on 381 points after seven rounds, and I'm on 349. So you've got a healthy lead, Jake, but, you know, it only takes another good one or two performances, and I'm back up there. So, and there was, it looks like, one, two, three players who didn't get any points at all, Jake. So that's going to happen, isn't it, with the young players? And actually, three out of 20.
That's actually pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah.
Three of these guys. And I think going into last night's game, the last game of the round, that Wanderers and Victory, you're actually leading this round. And then I just did well with Tate Russell, Jake Brimmer, and Kinu Backus all playing and getting more points. So we ended up pretty close this round in terms of total points. Jeanroux, obviously your big scorer, and then I had a couple of other ones that kind of made up for that.
Yeah, for sure. Jake, this Sunday is the closing of our entries for the FFA Cup tipping, which you can get involved by just searching FFA Cup tipping on Facebook, and it's a Facebook group. You can, all the rules and requirements are there. You have until Sunday, I suppose midnight on Sunday, to enter. We've got a fair few entries now, which is great, and we will, and there are games kicking off in Queensland. I don't know about Western Australia when they're the league, the early rounds.
I'm not 100% sure, but I have a feeling it might be the weekend, next weekend, the weekend after.
Okay, well, we do have some teams kicking off here, as I mentioned, in Queensland this weekend, including my team.
And worth mentioning that I know Football Queensland is live streaming four, maybe five of the FFA Cup games. So
yeah, five or six, right? Yeah,
if you're looking for football this weekend, and I know some of them are earlier afternoon games, so possibly before the A-League games as well. So go to, I imagine it'll be Football Queensland's Facebook page, and be able to find the links from there.
Absolutely. And just to mention briefly that it's, we're not tipping every game or anything like that. It's just you got to pick the 21 non-A-League clubs to make the final 32. And that Wollongong Wolves have kept their automatic spot, so you can't choose them. But the rules are there from each state, how many teams from each state to pick. And a little correction, we did have four Queensland clubs, which is accurate, but one of those clubs is from the central/north of Queensland, which there's only one NPL club up there, being Mackay Magpies. But I threw in a little sneaky, Jake. I went Frenchville from Rockhampton.
I don't mind that.
Because
that'll be lots of points. Yeah.
The NPL club, if they make it, you get 1 point. But if you get a club from non-top NPL of each state, you get 5 points. So it's worth a little bit of a punt. So yeah, you've got until Sunday for that one. Jake, we're going to wrap things up. As we mentioned, obviously this show is all about TPO rank. Well, not all about, but predominantly about TPO rankings. And we haven't got any games to really talk about and much data apart from the A-League, and that's not too exciting. So we got really have to going to wait for the seasons to kick off and the FFA Cup really get into things before we can start doing shows around that data and around the rankings. So we're sort of filling in time here. But I'd like to finish things off this week, Jake, with maybe some things that have caught your eye on Twitter. I think we had a quick discussion yesterday at work around the interview that Simon Hill did on their podcast with James Johnson. What's his position? CEO? No. Director of
He was CEO. CEO of the FFA, I believe, wasn't he?
CEO, is that a position? Anyway, whatever he is of the FFA. Jake, any thoughts on that interview that you'd like to
I mean, like I said, you and I talked about this, but it was really, I found it, he said, I guess, mostly the right things. Like, he's very careful in what he's saying, which I guess is normal from the FFA. It's kind of what they have to. They don't want to be saying stuff that people latch onto and then have to, you know, come back and, or they don't want to be seen to be making promises or announcing things that they can't yet. So very cautious in his answers. I kind of just, it made me a little disappointed, to be honest, reading between the lines in what he's saying. Just kind of made it, to me at least, feel like FA, Football Australia, doesn't really believe in the second division, at least not in the form that has been put forward by the AAFC. You know, he was talking about the fact that they believe in a second division, and now it's a matter of what it looks like, not whether we need one, which is, very positive. But then he went on to say, essentially, that it comes down to two different models. One is the AAFC's model, which is a fully national, 12 to 16 team league. And then the second one is more of a NPL for part of the year. And then, the winners or the handful of top NPL clubs go into a European Champions League sort of style competition. This is quoting him, a more pragmatic approach. So, I don't know, just the way he said that kind of says to me that they don't believe that the fully national competition can work, or at least not at the moment, or maybe it's more of a protectionist sort of thing, looking after the current A-League interests. And I don't know, I would have thought, Cody, what I would expect to hear from somebody in his position, if they were actually open to the ideas that have been put forward, is I would like to hear something like, he comes out and says, look, there's work to be done. There's obviously a couple of models on the table. I applaud the AAFC, which up until that point, everything I've said he actually did say. But then I would expect him to say something like, we want the best possible league that's out there. This is exciting. There's potential here. And if we can make this work, then something like this model is obviously a positive, but we need to do the work. That's what I would expect him to say. I would like positivity, but with some caveats. Whereas to me, it was more like like I said, again, reading between the lines, that model just isn't sitting where they want it to be. And the Champions League style competition that he's talking about, if that was announced as, basically we've got the NPL Championship right now, if Football Australia came out and said, we're expanding that to be a Champions League style competition, I'd be all for that, but not as the next national second division. To me, that's not a national second division. It's just more games for the current NPL clubs, because it doesn't reduce the number of clubs in the second tier. It just gives some of the current NPL clubs more games, which isn't a bad thing, but not as the national second division. So, it left me a little bit disappointed. I hope that that's not reflective of what's going to come. But for now, I'll wait and see. And it really comes down to, can the AAFC push their model a bit further and get the right people looking at it and giving feedback and get the right people on board.
And did you also hear him discuss the, I think it was a celebration or festival of football week, which that sounded exciting, with a sort of a weekend and finishing with the FFA Cup final and giving that sort of a big ramp up and at the end of the season. I do like that idea, Jake, and I particularly like the idea. I think Simon Hill asked him, and he didn't say yes or no, but perhaps Canberra or some location would host it every year, almost like the FFA Cup in Wimbledon and Wimbledon.
Wimbledon, wrong sport.
In England, it'd be great to have. I'd love it down in Canberra. Obviously, the issue is, would you get the crowds traveling? If you had a Perth v Brisbane, would you have many fans travel? But I don't know. I suppose that would be a bit of an issue. But I do like the idea of having one location every year. Everyone knows where it is. It's a big festival. There'd be other things going around. There's probably some other games they could have beforehand in a bit of a lead up. Perhaps they match it with a international week where you have some Socceroos games as well, or Matildas. What do you think?
I like the idea. The neutral venue things, I like the idea, but at the same time, I can see why that would be tough, especially when you're trying to get your crowds and your people traveling for something like that. But I love the Festival of Football. I think that's what he called it, wasn't it? I love that idea. I love the idea of having, you know, week-long or a weekend, even long weekend, having other things happening in and around the FFA Cup and making a big deal of that.
Yeah, awesome. Anything else catch your eye on a podcast or that doesn't make sense? Catch your ear on a podcast or catch your eye on Twitter or the social media, Jake, around football?
Nothing in particular. I probably from other podcasts, there's other football podcasts out there that we've mentioned in the past. And, you know, I listened to the Simon Hill one in particular. I think you mentioned the Garby one as well. But I really enjoy those with the interviews of players. So if you're looking for more football content, there's definitely some good stuff out there.
Yeah, way to plug some other podcasts, Jake. Just lost half our listeners.
Yeah, that's right. Going.
No, all right, Jake. Well, next week we will have some FFA Cup results to discuss, including a couple of big clashes as we're going to preview on our social medias with some images over the coming days. And one to mention, Jake, is our former club from last year, AC Carina. So you've hung up the boots. We should mention you're sort of officially, unofficially retired until maybe an over 35s team comes calling.
Which isn't too many years away.
No. What are you now? About to turn 34, 33?
Yeah, that's right.
34 in April, yep. And I moved up to the Sunshine Coast, so I'm playing for Caloundra this year. And we kick off against Coolum at a local club up here tomorrow night, so that should be fun. My ankle's a bit dodgy, so we'll see how we go at training tonight. I don't know if I'll be playing or not, but either way, it should be good to get underway and, yeah, some good clashes. So we can discuss that next week.
Well, and hopefully we're talking next week about your next round game if you manage to get up over Coolum in round two. This is your next one. Do you want to tell everybody where you'll be travelling for that?
No, we don't travel, Jake. They're both home games, I believe. So
we're somebody travelling to you.
Yeah, a team from Toowoomba, Rockville or Rocky?
Rockville Rovers, I believe.
Rockville Rovers, yeah. So we're lucky in that we don't have to travel to Coolum or Toowoomba if we obviously win tomorrow night. But we obviously need to win, Jake, tomorrow night before we start talking about that game. And I have planned, Jake, an interview with Vince from Soccer Cards Rock, I think his socials and website is about soccer cards. So we've been sort of flirting with the idea of and hinting at this, that this topic will be coming down the pipeline. And I believe if I can get this interview ahead, to go over the next few days, I have it scheduled, but I just remembered that I have something else that might push it back or change it, but we'll see. Hopefully we can get it scheduled and I can have that conversation with Vince and he's going to basically run through the concept of what soccer cards are. We sort of have done that in a little way, but he's fully into it. He's a content creator there on social media and he does some great work. So I'm pretty excited for that, Jake.
Well, as long as you get your priorities straight, Cody, I don't know what else you've got planned, but scrap it.
Well, it's the FFA Cup game, Jake, tomorrow night. So I don't think I'll be scrapping that. I think
you're injured, you said, so you're just going to have to miss it.
No, I think I've got to make sure – I've got to figure out the time. I think I'll be all right. I just have to make sure the podcast is only sort of a half an hour one. But, yeah, big topic, Jake, of soccer cards. We've been we discuss it quite often when I come into work there and the Messi cards that we have been going up in value like crazy the last few weeks. So maybe we should sell, Jake.
No, we've got a bit. We can hold on. It's still going up.
We're holding. No, that sounds good. Well, yeah, tune in next week. Anything else, Jake?
No, I think that's it for me. Looking forward to the FFA Cup games.
Yeah, absolutely. And the A-League. So enjoy this week and round of football, and we'll see you back here next week.